Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So over the course of the past week, federal, state, and local law enforcement working here in Buffalo have been extremely busy. Working with my office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, as well as the Erie County District Attorney's Office under D.A. Flynn, we have succeeded in dismantling perhaps the most prolific drug trafficking organization currently operating here in Western New York. As a result of the tremendous police work conducted by the Erie County Sheriff's Department, represented here today by Sheriff Tim Howard, Buffalo Police Department, represented here today by Commissioner Byron Lockwood, Department of Homeland Security, Homeland Security Investigations, represented by Special Agent in Charge Kevin Kelly, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration, represented by Resident Agent in Charge Ed Orgon, the FBI, under Special Agent in Charge Gary Lofert, and IRS, Criminal Investigative Division, under Supervisory Special Agent Kristen Shanley, who's here with us today. And last but not least, a CBP Aaron Marine, represented here today by Mark Diss. As a result of the tremendous efforts of those agencies, those law enforcement agencies, four individuals who are part of a transcontinental drug trafficking organization that stretched from Buffalo to Los Angeles have been arrested. And I'd be remiss also if I didn't recognize my narcotics chief, Tim Lynch, who together with AUSA Laura Higgins, also present, have actually done all the legwork in this case from the perspective of my office. But the four individuals arrested include David Bergen, and Rodney Pierce, both of Buffalo, New York, who were arrested last Wednesday, February 19th. They also include David Washington, also from Buffalo, who was arrested on Friday, the 21st. And then yesterday, out in Los Angeles, California, an individual identified as Elzier Martinez Medina was arrested, and he's appearing in federal court this afternoon out in Los Angeles. During the course of this past week, over 11 search warrants have been executed at locations throughout the city of Buffalo in Western New York. And as a result of the execution of those search warrants, over 7.5 kilograms of cocaine and crack cocaine were seized, over 2 kilograms of deadly fentanyl. Remember, 2 to 3 milligrams of fentanyl can be a lethal dose, so that's enough fentanyl basically to wipe out all of the population of Erie County. 12 illegal firearms, over $750,000 in United States currency, along with extensive drug paraphernalia, including kilogram presses. The level of sophistication by this organization is typified by the fact that five different locations searched, there were 6 different hydraulic traps, some of which were sort of electronically operated to conceal certain locations within some of those premises that were searched. Yesterday, we announced the CBFL-BFL gang operating in Town Garden had been demolished as a result of a successful jury trial, which concluded yesterday here in the Western District of New York. And my message then is the same as it is today. If you're going to poison our community with drugs and violence, get out. We don't want you here. We won't have you here. And there are 2 ways you will be removed from our community. One is in handcuffs. The other is in a body bag. And it's your choice. If you're going to engage in those activities, that's how it's going to come to an end. Drug trafficking and the violence that it brings with it sows the seeds for suffering and anguish in our community. And that suffering and anguish has gone on long enough. And I'm proud today to stand before all these partners in law enforcement who put everything aside and only to work together on one mission, and that's to end that suffering and to end that anguish. We've come together as law enforcement to say enough is enough, and it's time for the community to do exactly the same thing. I hope these prosecutions and others like them are pushing out the message that the complaints that are being filed in the community will no longer fall on deaf ears. We are all working together to address those complaints, to clean up our community, to provide safe streets and a safe environment in which to live and work. There is unity of purpose in the law enforcement community, and we need to spread that to the entire community. Together, and only together, can we bring an end to this despair and endless cycle of violence that drug trafficking brings to our community. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Special Agent in Charge for HSI, Kevin Kelly.
Good afternoon. Thank you, U.S. Attorney Kennedy. I'm Special Agent in Charge Kevin Kelly with HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. It's my pleasure to be here today with our partners from Erie County Sheriff's Office, the FBI, CBP Air Operations, DEA, the Buffalo Police Department, the IRS, the Lackawanna Police Department, and New York State Police to announce these significant case developments in this ongoing drug trafficking probe. With the growing plague of drug deaths and associated criminal activity, HSI is committed to stemming the flow of illegal drugs that threaten the security of our communities. Last week's enforcement activities are part of this commitment with several high-level targets, and some of whom acted with impunity and deemed themselves untouchable by law enforcement. This operation also included the execution of almost 24 federal and state search warrants, resulting in the seizure of hundreds of thousands of dollars, numerous firearms, including some that were assault-style rifles, and multiple pounds of cocaine and marijuana. Additionally, over 2 pounds of fentanyl was seized. To put it into context, 2 pounds of fentanyl could completely wipe out the whole city of Buffalo. These notable successes effectively choked off a major drug pipeline into our community. Further, the investigation has revealed a transnational criminal organization using highly sophisticated techniques to conduct their criminal activities, such as counter-surveillance techniques and concealing their drugs, illicit money, and guns in hydraulic traps. This is no ordinary drug organization. This is cartel drugs coming into Buffalo. And while these results are significant, what's more significant is the power of collaboration and coordination between the agencies before you. No agency alone can have this type of impact on our community. It's a simple plan. It's done by sharing information, being collaborative, and working together. Going forward, HSI will remain dedicated to working shoulder to shoulder with our federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement partners to disrupt and dismantle the most serious drug trafficking organizations that threaten our communities. Again, we are pleased to join our partners to announce these results today and the highest importance of working jointly in the law enforcement community. Thank you.
Next up, Gary Loafert, Special Agent in Charge, Buffalo Division of FBI.
Thank you, JP. Good afternoon, everybody. The FBI Safe Streets Task Force recognizes the need to interdict drug trafficking and related violence by using a layered law enforcement approach. The charges U.S. Attorney Kennedy has set forth represent why there remains a pressing need for our agencies to continue to collectively take action against the people who profit from flooding our streets with illicit drugs. These arrests and seizures will have long-lasting impact in our region. This case is a great example of the resolve of the investigators and the prosecutors. The amount of time and effort put into long-term, multi-state investigations like this one do not deter our commitment to protect our communities from dangerous narcotics and illegal weapons. Thank you.
Thank you. DEA? Sheriff Howard? No? Okay. Commissioner? Mark? I guess that's it. So, Christine? Okay. Any questions? We'll take it open up for questions. Go ahead, Maggie.
Could someone walk us through, like, the different warrants and raids and what happened over the last week or 2 weeks?
I mean, we're limited somewhat in that we're constrained by what's been put forth in court, so I'm going to let the people that actually presented the evidence in court handle that. Tim Lynch.
Good afternoon. Tim Lynch from the U.S. Attorney's Office. The events really started on the 19th of February based on the actions of the Buffalo Police Department and the Erie County Sheriff's Department. It led to the identification of Rodney Pierce and David Bergen operating a location on 56 Grimes Avenue, which was known to federal law enforcement already. But based on warrants obtained by the Erie County Sheriff's Department, they executed a warrant there. They found approximately $250,000 in U.S. currency, a large quantity of fentanyl, a large quantity of cocaine, and four firearms, including two assault rifles and two handguns. Based on that information, federal law enforcement acted on the information that they already had. On the 20th, an indictment was returned against David Washington and Eleazar Martinez Medina. And on the 21st of February, I think approximately eight warrants were executed that day by federal, state, and local law enforcement, where an additional $500,000, approximately $500,000 in U.S. currency was seized, a large amount of cocaine and fentanyl again, and as well as the hydraulic traps that were found in several locations throughout the city of Buffalo. In addition, those warrants continued over the weekend where a warrant was executed in one of the suburbs also. So that's sort of how it's progressed just over the last 5 or 6 days. But the investigation into Mr. Bergen and David Washington really began more than 2 years ago.
Were those guys in the maybe a higher level of distribution at that point? And was there a network below them? People?
Yeah, so we suspect that David Bergen and David Washington are at the top of the chain of distribution, and then they bring in kilos of cocaine, which are then distributed down onto the street level.
And street level meaning where? Buffalo, the suburbs?
Mostly in the city of Buffalo, but also in some of the surrounding suburbs.
Can you name the suburbs?
Well, we know the Lackawanna was one of the suburbs it was sold in, as well as Tonawanda.
Town
of Tonawanda.
How large of the network would you say, if you reach out to all of the tentacles, how far do you think it spread number-wise?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say in that regard, but we've identified David Bergen and David Washington as two of the largest drug traffickers operating in the city of Buffalo for the last several years.
So something triggered you 2 years ago to start looking at these people?
Correct.
Probably something from Buffalo or one of the, not necessarily from DEA or whatever, but probably some local investigation started this thing?
Well, intelligence information is always being collected by our state and local partners. We're consistently meeting together, identifying appropriate targets that we want to, identify and investigate. And it was based on that information that came in, generally comes in at the local level, and it works its way up to the federal government. And then the federal government, obviously, we use our resources and our other techniques to investigate these organizations.
The suspect, Mr. Pierce, is that the same Rodney Pierce who played basketball at UB?
He indicated in court that he did play basketball locally and that he played in Spain overseas. So that's what I know about Mr. Pierce.
There's a gentleman in Los Angeles that's also been arrested as part of this. And you also mentioned cartel.
Well, I'll say that Mr. Martinez Medina was arrested last night in Los Angeles. He's making his initial appearance today in federal court.
So
the
you
cartel
might...
part?
Well, I can only talk about what I said in court. And what I told you today is what I've said in federal court.
You know, I've been going to these news conferences for more than 50 years. A bunch of cops and prosecutors stand up there and say, you know, we've made a dent in the drug trade. And you guys are still out there investigating the drug trade. Is there a taxi squad of people who want to be high-level drug dealers? Or, does it ever stop?
Well, we're trying to stop the flow of drugs in our community because we see on a daily basis the destruction that it leads to the lives of our citizens. And maybe it's a perspective that you might have, that we might have, that have been at this for a while, that perhaps some of the young people that engage in this sort of behavior don't have. And just because they don't have that perspective means that we're going to stop doing what we're doing. And we need to get that message out to them. And that's what we're trying to do by taking these strong actions against these individuals. Past 2 days, two very significant prosecutions. These people are going to at least with regard to the conviction yesterday, that gentleman is going to spend the rest of his life in jail. And we're trying to get the message out to the community that there are better options. There are other options other than, you know, you don't necessarily choose where you live when you're a kid growing up. And you see sort of the actions of the people in your community, and that's your world perspective. And if that's your world perspective, that's probably what you aspire to. And if that's what you aspire to, you're setting your sights awfully low. Because, as I said, the only way out is handcuffs or a body bag in most instances. So, you know, yes, it's swimming upstream, it seems like, many times. But that doesn't negate the need to continue the effort. And hopefully, you know, people will start to see the light and realize that, in fact, this really is a zero-sum game, as I said. And if you're going to get in the game, your options at the end of the game are very limited.
Can you quantify just kind of how dangerous these people are and really what law enforcement goes through when they're executing a search warrant like this, dealing with people who have assault-style rifles, not really knowing what you're going to, you know, jump into when you're executing a search warrant?
Well, I will allow the law enforcement people that actually do that work to answer that question, but I can tell you this, that I think, you know, too often in our community, law enforcement gets painted with a bad brush, and they're putting their lives on the line every morning when they put on their uniform. And I want them to know that, at least on behalf of the federal government and our federal partners and the U.S. Attorney's Office, you know, they have our thanks and we have their backs as well. And we need to let them know that we support them. They have very difficult jobs. They're put in very difficult situations where they have to make very difficult decisions, you know, in a split second. And I commend them. Like I said earlier, I'm proud to stand before them and work with them at their side, because they do so much to protect the community. And it's unfortunate that, you know, there's this narrative. And unfortunately, a lot of it does, I think, many times stem from the communities who feel as though somehow, you know, we're targeting them or we're going after them. And that's not the case at all. As I say often, don't people that live in poor socioeconomic conditions have a right to feel safe in their community? That's why, you know, when we take these actions and when we, you know, we try and remove these drugs and this poison and these guns and these firearms from the community, we're trying to make it so that they can live in the same safety that people that perhaps live in the suburbs might have. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to either BPD or the sheriffs to talk about the law enforcement.
Maybe both of us, Commissioner, but I would indicate that, or suggest that, the entertainment industry has done a pretty good job of portraying how dangerous this is for the undercover officers. What it hasn't noted is the powder, particularly the fentanyl now, that even a mere contact with that could end up as fatal. So that certainly is a new danger to all the personnel that's involved. The Erie County Sheriff's Office routinely uses our SWAT team for entry and securing the premises and the individuals that we encounter. So is certainly a recognition that we know how dangerous that is to be the cause of using a SWAT team for that, to secure all of that and then turn it over to the individuals to do the inventory and complete the search. So,
Sheriff, just something you just said. With fentanyl in a bus like this, do you carry Narcan, or do you have special precautions for your guys going into a place like this? Because it doesn't take a lot of fentanyl to create problems for the SWAT team going in.
We've had cases right here at our own Erie County lab with an overdose from mere contact with the outside of a package that was contaminated with fentanyl on the outside. So that is very clear recognition of that. And again, beyond the danger just to the undercover officers that's already been portrayed by the entertainment industry, is the added danger that unknowing contact could also be fatal.
I'll just reiterate what the sheriff had to say. Our SWAT team is highly trained. They plan these operations out in advance. The dangers that you say, they know the most direct routes to the hospitals. They have Narcan available. It's a lot of training. They have the equipment and a lot of training, and they are the utmost professionals when they handle these entries. And the same thing with the investigators that come in and do the searching after. So they, you know, they're familiar with the dangers that exist, and they account for that. So. You know, we're very grateful for the work of our narcotics intelligence, our SWAT team, and, you know, as stated up here, it's everybody has a part, but when we all work together, some very good things can happen. So thank you.
Can you explain these hydraulic traps and how hard they are to find, any one of you?
DJ Granville with the Erie County Sheriff's Office. These traps that we've come across in recent years are extremely hard to find. In particular, in this case, there was a staircase that was electronically wired that we were able to pry open and discover a quantity of U.S. currency and drugs.
So when you say electronically wired, for possible detonation or for...
For mere concealment, just to conceal it in order to open it, it opens electronically.
So how do I buy one of these things? So then they've got people that know how to do installations that are, talk about that a little.
That's correct. I mean, unfortunately, in this business, it's far-reaching, and people that are handy and familiar with these things that can conceal weapons, money, and drugs oftentimes come into contact in some way, shape, or form with drug dealers who either pay them in one respect or another in order to install these traps.
How big are they?
They could be very large. I mean, it could go from as big as, you know, a small box to as big as a quarter size of this room.
For you to say you broke down the wall, the door, the floor, or whatever it is to find these traps, suggest that you knew where to go to look.
You know, I'd rather not comment on you know, how we knew the whereabouts of some of these traps.
Do you have any idea who installed them?
This investigation is ongoing and continuing, and that could develop at some point.
Because, I mean, obviously, if they have one,
yeah,
could be. But if you get somewhat similar ones, it suggests there's, you know, one guy out there who has a sideline job, building safe rooms for drug dealers.
Yeah, again, this is ongoing, and this isn't the first time we've come across these types of traps.
Same guy.
Have any of these four been linked to any homicides or overdoses?
Somebody else?
I don't think we're going to comment on that at this point. Obviously, they had a lot of firearms, and we continue to conduct gun intelligence. Working with our partners at the Erie County Crime Analysis Center, with other federal partners, the ATF, you know, we'll trace all the firearms and, you know, continue the investigation as it's just been stated. So something obviously that we always look at, and we know that a vast majority of the violence committed in our city is committed by individuals who are involved in drug trafficking activities and who are armed and who, aren't willing to, unfortunately, pull the trigger to protect what they believe is theirs, and that's exactly the sort of behavior that we want to join together to end.
Is this absolutely pure cocaine?
I believe that cocaine has been submitted to the laboratory. I'm not sure that we have the test results back.
Well, I know one of the ways you trace this stuff is looking at what it's cut with. So if you have deaths where you have samples, you can track it back. But if this is coming in a pretty pure state, you lose, at least I would think, that method of tracing if somebody dies.
Right. Well, fentanyl, I mean, generally most of the deaths that we're seeing in Erie County are because of fentanyl, not necessarily cocaine. Sometimes the cocaine is cut with fentanyl, but most of the deaths are, overdose deaths are a result of fentanyl. And so we did find over 2 kilograms of fentanyl in this case. We're going to continue to investigate that. And there are, as you may be aware, there's many analogs for fentanyl and many different types of fentanyl, and some of which can be traced, some of which, you know, are legal under state law, illegal under federal law. And that's why it's so important that just a couple months ago, Congress reenacted the analog statute to allow or continue to schedule fentanyl as a Schedule I controlled substance for federal purposes, because it's not always, some of the variants that the chemists manufacture aren't always illegal under state law. So, I mean, in this case, I will say, too, that one of the traps, one of the concealed compartments was actually a room that, based upon what was in it, we believe was a room used to cut and package controlled substances. So it was actually an entire concealed room in one of the premises that was used to basically bag up and cut and drugs for future distribution. Okay, thank you.
You call this the possibly one of the most prolific drug trafficking operations in Western New York, like ever, right? Can you talk about the scale? Because obviously you found a lot of drugs there, but over the course of 2 years, I mean, do you have any sense of how much?
Again, we have a sense. I'm not sure that it's been made publicly available yet, but we do have a sense that this was I know that Chief Lynch, when he was in court, said he was one of the largest drug dealers in Western New York. There's a reason why he said that. He didn't just make that up.
Do you have any, I mean, the one guy was the basketball player, but have these guys ever popped up on your radar ever?
I think you heard earlier that at least for a couple years, some of these individuals have been on our radar. So, thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.